it's Red Eye Radio, with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Dan Mandis. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Appreciate you being here on Red Eye Radio. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-90-RED-EYE. And you can find out more about me on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page, Parler, Instagram, and Twitter. Man, so much to talk about today. You know, one of the things that I noticed watching the media today, because that's part of what I do, is I am a proud member, not so much, of the media as a talk show host. And so I like to watch what the media covers and what they don't cover. Now, one of the things that the media has simply refused to cover is this report that came out, I think it was a day before yesterday, the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, this whole thing regarding Hunter Biden and the fact that this dude is corrupt as the day is long. And Joe Biden refused to heed to the warnings of the State Department when they said, Joe, your son is corrupt. Your son is impeding our efforts to drive the corruption out of Ukraine because he's sitting on the board of this highly corrupt company, Burisma, again, in Ukraine, which, by the way, he's earning millions of dollars being on this board. He has absolutely no experience in oil and gas. It was nothing but influence peddling. And we went through this last night. And the media is silent on this story. It is just, it's fascinating to watch what the media covers and won't cover. You know, all day today, they're talking about President Trump and how he is refusing to guarantee that he'll leave office quietly, basically. And so you've got CNN intimating, reporting that they're going to need the media to haul the president out of the Oval Office. Wait till you hear this audio that I've got for you here in a couple of minutes. But they have an obsession with that, but they have nothing to say about Hunter Biden. And it's amazing. And you know who figured that out too? In very quick order, Donald Trump Jr., who called out the media when he says this, and this was from a tweet, when the media thought that they had me for something much less significant than direct payments from an associate of Vladimir Putin and direct links to human trafficking and prostitution in Russia, I was front page news for weeks on end. But the Bidens get a pass for their corruption, as always, Trump Jr. exclaimed on Thursday. And he, by the way, in case you don't know, he's talking about that meeting with that Russian national that everybody scrutinized, but it was really nothing. But why would the media not report on Hunter Biden? Is it because they are so incredibly anti-Trump that literally anything that would look bad on Joe Biden is not going to be reported? See, that's really what is going on. But here you have Joe Biden, this guy running for president, and his son, I'm just going to bullet point this for you, folks, had shady and suspicious financial entanglements with oligarchs, Russians, had business dealings with suspects tied to prostitution and human trafficking. People in the State Department, again, they hated it. Couldn't figure out why Biden and Obama were okay with this. Why was Hunter on this board of Burisma? How was he qualified? It was influence peddling. And Biden getting that prosecutor fired who was investigating Burisma? Now, here's the thing. Biden was interviewed by Axios on this months ago. I want to play you this audio. The reason I'm playing you this audio is I want you to hear the eye roll in Joe Biden's voice, because what he's trying to do is he's trying to shame the reporter from Axios. He's trying to say to the reporter from Axios, why are you asking me this question, you peon? This isn't on the teleprompter. Here's how it all went down.
On your son, Hunter Biden, President Trump says, Sleepy Joe has real problems. Reminds me of Crooked Hillary and her 33,000 emails. A lot of the Ukraine charges about you have been debunked and were unfair. There's one thing that a lot of Democrats even do wonder about, and that is Hunter Biden, your son, was getting paid a lot of money to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges. You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board, and that was it.
I want to remind you that one of the things that Joe Biden is known for is lying.
And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
I want to remind you that Hunter Biden was in and out of rehab many, many times. Hunter Biden is a train wreck of a human being. And for Joe Biden to say, well, you know, I trust my son. Really? Now, the other thing about this is when this conversation was happening between Axios and Joe Biden, this was a huge news story. It was huge. You mean to tell me, Joe Biden, that you didn't pick up the phone to call your son and say, hey, what's all this about? And if Joe Biden was half the father that he claims to be, he would know exactly what his son was doing for Burisma. He's always talking about how close the family is, and he's always talking about the greatness of the Biden name and all this stuff. Okay, Joe, well then it didn't occur to you when you were in charge of the policy with Ukraine, it didn't occur to you to say, hey, this oil and gas company, Burisma, you're on the board, it's really corrupt, can you just tell me what you're doing? So either you are lying, Joe, or you're clueless, or both.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong.
OK, so Joe Biden says there's nothing on its face that was wrong. So according to Joe Biden, it is OK for your son to work on the board of directors of this oil and gas company, Burisma, for which you have no qualifications at all. And you are the dude in charge of the policy with Ukraine. You don't see that that's inappropriate? See, Joe can't win here. And the reason why Joe can't win here is because this whole situation is wrong on its face. And that he can't see that? That Joe has not only character issues, he's got issues with the truth, but he also has serious judgment issues.
So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family.
Okay, let's talk about Trump's family. You know how much money Donald Trump Jr. and the other sons of and daughters of President Trump, do you know how much money they've lost? You know, the thing is, Donald Trump's life and the life of his children is going pretty well. You know, Ivanka's working with the Trump Corporation, whatever it is, Trump Industries. She's doing really well. You've got Donald Trump Jr. You've got Eric Trump. Everybody's working in the Trump family business, and everybody's doing flipping great. And then Daddy decides to run for president, and everybody's life is screwed up. Ivanka lost, what, millions, right? Because she lost her clothing line. I think there may have been a makeup line, something like that. The president himself lost a lot of money as well. So when Biden is sitting here saying, oh, well, you know, let's talk about the Trump kids. Really? Do you want to talk about the Trump kids? You know, we could talk about Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who brokered that deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and between Israel and Bahrain. I mean, think about the difference between those two. Think about the difference between what Hunter Biden was doing and what Jared Kushner was doing. Oh, my God, what a difference. So, yeah, Joe, if you would like to talk about the differences between the two kids, we certainly can. Because your son was influence peddling and you had Jared Kushner who was literally working out peace in the Middle East. I mean, we can have that argument all day long.
I mean, come on. This is
so
these guys are amazing.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher?
You know, there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit to suggest anything done was wrong.
Now, that's a Biden tactic. I've noticed this. I've been watching Joe Biden for a long time. And when you get too close for comfort with Joe, When he doesn't want to talk about something, what he does is he tries to shame the media. He tries to shame the interviewer. And the interviewer, he's laid this out. I mean, he laid it out beautifully. And we didn't have all the details that we do now regarding Hunter Biden and Burisma, but we knew enough at the time. And so that's what Biden does, is he likes to shame you. He likes to try to make the member of the media feel like he's asking stupid questions. Now, to me, I think that it is an obvious tactic. And the guy from Axios, he didn't really let him off the hook.
You know that, but you keep asking me these questions. It's okay. You're doing what you have to do. But I'm not worried about it. Look, the American public knows me.
Last one on this. Say you're elected, you're in office. What guardrails would you have to be sure that your son, your brother Jimmy, doesn't do anything to trade on the family name?
They will not be engaged in any foreign business because of what's happened in this administration.
So there you have it. There is Joe Biden from, you know, back several months ago, refusing to even acknowledge the wrongdoing of his son, Hunter Biden. So we'll see if this ultimately does become an issue in the campaign. By the way, you know, going back to the conversation regarding Breonna Taylor, and I'm going to have to tread lightly on this one, folks, because this is rough. Because I'm going to say some things that is going to make a lot of people, perhaps, maybe, feel uncomfortable. But one of the things that I've noticed is that LeBron James and some of these other folks are now coming out and saying that the new mantra, because of the death of Breonna Taylor, is respect the black woman. Now, this goes back to Malcolm X years and years ago, back in the 60s, I believe, when he had a speech about this. But you've got all these also enlightened athletes saying, oh, yeah, you've got to respect the black woman, which I think is really interesting. Now, I do respect the black woman. I respect the white woman. I respect all women. I respect all men until they give me a reason not to. But can we talk about that? Can we talk about the whole respecting the black woman thing? Because I've got to tell you, I think it's awfully rich for these NBA players and these football players to talk about respecting the black woman when a lot of these guys have had all these illegitimate kids, many times with black women, and then they bail. And they don't support the women financially. They don't support the kids financially. And they just leave them to, have financial issues and no father in the house. So that doesn't sound real respectful to me. And if you want to go ahead and sort of zoom out on this and expand the conversation, where you've had these sports heroes, LeBron James and all these other folks respect a black woman, 77% of the black community, fatherless households. So essentially, you're running around, you're knocking up a whole bunch of women, and then you leave them to raise the kid by themselves. No money, no helping to raise the kid, nothing. 77% in the black community. That's not racism, folks. I'm not saying something racist. That is a fact. But I love this. It's classic. These pious, enlightened athletes lecturing us on respecting women. I mean, you do see the irony here, right? It's silly. And quite frankly, I would say to LeBron and anyone else who would say anything about respecting the black woman, I have respected them for, well, I mean, all my life. It didn't take the death of Breonna Taylor for me to say that you really should respect women and respect the black woman. I've done it all my life. What about them? 866-90-RED-EYE, that's 866-907-3339.
Did you know that up to half of all major engine failures are due to poor cooling system maintenance? That's a lot of downtime and can cost drivers big. You expect a lot from your engine, which is why the cooling system must be a part of your maintenance routine. Here's a tip to keep your cooling system in shape and your engine running smooth. Inspect your radiator, belts, and hoses for potential failures and deterioration, especially ahead of winter. Check the condition of your coolant to ensure it's at the optimum freeze point. Inadequate freeze protection levels can result in cracking of lines or passages. If you find insufficient freeze point levels or any wear and tear, find a TA truck service near you to have these issues repaired by technicians you can trust.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-907-3339. Dan Mandis in for Gary and Eric. They both return on Monday. Let's say hello to, this is going to be Christopher in Plano, Texas on Red Eye Radio. Christopher, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say, before you say anything else about George Floyd, you should read an article in the American Spectator from over a month ago by George Perry.
Okay.
And it has transcripts of all the police cams, the body cams, and toxicology reports and all that stuff.
Right.
Read through that and see what you think about that.
Well, I've read a couple of the autopsy report, because there is two autopsy reports, right? There is one from the local medical examiner's office, and then there is another one that the family did independently. So the Hennepin County found that his death was due to, quote, cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. So that conclusion was basically Floyd had a heart attack. Now, to your point, he did have all kinds of drugs in his system. He had fentanyl, he had meth, he had pot as well. I think he had diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, all these things. So we can all agree that George Floyd was not a healthy man. We can also, by the way, all agree, well, maybe not, but he was not a good man. I mean, this was a guy who had a record a mile long. He did horrible, horrible things. I will tell you, and I know that there's a lot of people that disagree with me, he did not deserve to die. The police officers were wrong in that 8 minutes and 40 seconds, because he was on the ground, he was subdued, he was handcuffed, and there were four of them. So the one, the autopsy from the Hennepin County, again, basically all kinds of drugs in his system, and he had a heart attack. The family, the independent examiner hired by the family, say that the cause of death was asphyxiation from sustained pressure. So basically, you have two different autopsies, and they both say that he died either from the direct actions of the police or from complications from what the police were doing, like the heart attack. Dude's on the ground, in handcuffs. He's got a knee on his neck, and so he had a heart attack and died. So I get what you're saying. I do. You and everyone else, Christopher, listen, I totally get it. I understand. I'm not going to defend the cops on this one, and you will have a hard time, Christopher, finding a bigger defender of the cops than me, but we may have to agree to disagree on this one. Do you understand?
I understand, but read that article by George Perry.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Christopher, do me a favor and find me on social media and send it to me. I'll see if I can read it, because, listen, I get it. I do understand. I'm just I don't think you folks are right on this one. I don't, but I appreciate the thing is, I've seen this video so many times, and it is such a horrifying video. But I also agree that the way that he was treated post-death, the guy had four different funerals. I mean, clearly his death was politicized, and I do appreciate the call. Dan Mandis right here on Red Eye Radio. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Phone lines are open. 866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Dan Mandis.
It is Red Eye Radio. Appreciate you being here. So it is interesting. I don't know if you've seen what's going on social media, but let me tell you something, friends. The knives are out for Charles Barkley. Did you hear what he said about the whole Breonna Taylor situation? This was Charles Barkley. I guess he was on maybe ESPN, maybe the NBA Network. I really don't know. But this is Charles Barkley. And I guess I would label it this way. A moment of rational thought amongst the world of sports.
Just bad the young lady lost her life. But, you know, we do have to take into account that her boyfriend did shoot at the cops and shot a cop.
Yep.
So, like I say, even though I'm really sorry she lost her life, I don't think that we can just say we can put this in the same situation with George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. I just don't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, Charles Barkley is absolutely right. And of course, you know, Charles, whenever he comes down with one of these opinions, and he does often in these kinds of situations, then he has a lot of courage because he gets attacked. And, you know, it's a lot easier to do this.
Jay Rose, Tyler Hero scoring double figures every game this postseason?
He's been putting in work for a young fella. But it'd also be a great day to arrest the cops that murdered Breonna Taylor.
So, yeah, I shared that audio with you last night as well. This is pretty much the level of dialogue coming out of the world of sports. So let's go back to the phones and say hello to Cody in Hayes, Kansas on Red Eye Radio. Cody, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Breonna Taylor. It's like, you know, like, it was a no-knock warrant or a knock warrant. I mean, he had a gun. Like, where'd he get the gun from? I mean, he was already holding the gun. Or
right.
He was on the table. Okay, So is everyone saying that she just didn't know that he was like a drug dealer and had a gun and everything?
Well, okay, so I want to make sure that we get this straight. The boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, he was not the drug dealer. He actually was a guy that had no record whatsoever. By the way, neither did Breonna Taylor herself. Now, the ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover, he was the bad dude, and Jamarcus was a guy who the police were watching, and she was, as I've been explaining the last several nights, Jamarcus Glover, she was in his orbit, and there was a lot of commonalities between the two. I mean, he was constantly going over to her house, and he used her address as his address. She was apparently holding thousands of dollars, and so the cops, they basically just thought that he was storing drugs, guns, and money at her home. And they used that as the justification for the warrant to go in and search. And it was indeed a knock and announce warrant. It was not a no-knock warrant. And so there's a lot of misinformation that the left is trying to put out there. But in reality, Cody, you are absolutely right. And I keep saying this, and so forgive me, folks, if you've heard me say this a time or two, but people are always tuning in and tuning out, hopefully tuning in more. But they keep saying that the no-knock warrant has to be, you know, eliminated. Well, what I would say to that is if they actually did use a no-knock warrant, then they would not have had time to get the gun. That would have meant then Kenneth Walker would not have been able to get that gun. Get dressed, by the way, then get the gun, then shoot at the police, who then, of course, as we all know now, return fire. And and people keep sending me this, so I'm just going to keep mentioning it. A lot of people are asking what I think is a very legit question. Why is it that Breonna Taylor was shot, whatever it was, five or six times, and Kenneth Walker, he didn't get shot at all if they were standing next to each other? And people are surmising that, and I don't know this for a fact, but this is out there, that Walker used Breonna Taylor as a human shield. Let's see here. What does Jim in San Francisco have to say on Red Eye Radio? Jim, if I can make the phone work. Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah,
thanks
hello?
For the call. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to know who the heck do these barely literate prima donnas think they are trying to give the rest of the country a lecture and an ultimatum on what is and what isn't acceptable in society? These people are the last ones to tell me who I'm supposed to respect and how I'm supposed to respect them. I respect anybody as long as they deserve respect. But for these guys to come out and start with this other mantra, and it goes on and on and on, and I don't want to get on a rant, but I just wanted to let you know what I had to think. Thank you.
All right, Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, Jim, I've come to find out that sometimes the shorter, more compact and concise rants are actually better, and I appreciate yours, and thank you very much for the call. Frank is in Raleigh, North Carolina on Red Eye Radio. Hey, Frank, what's up?
Hey, I would just like to point out that when somebody gets stopped by a police officer, that officer is at the tip of the spear, as we say in the military, representing a legal system that has been refined for hundreds of years, and with its flaws is the probably the best in the world, and it's people who try to emulate it. And I'm wondering whatever happened to public service announcements that we could teach people about the officer's power. At the moment he pulls you over, it's you and him out on a lonely road. He is the law. He's the tip of the spear. He's the long arm of the law. He's the sheriff of Dodge City. And I remember growing up, there are anti-smoking public service announcements. Don't drink when you're pregnant, stuff like that.
Right.
Wear seat belts. We need some public service announcements that explain to people what the power of the officer is. And if the cop is being a jerk and you don't know what he's been through that day, all the more reason to be calm and reasonable and make your complaint later to the judge. I found in the few times I've been pulled over, if you're calm and answer the questions truthfully, sometimes they'll go a little easier on you. But the point is, he is the law at that moment.
Right. And the problem that we have in America today, and I very much appreciate your comment, the problem that we have in America today is that we don't have any respect for Q really comes from a lack of parenting. I mean, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, we shouldn't be depending on public service announcements to teach kids about the police officers and the right way to deal with police officers. Now, there is a situation in Seattle. I played this audio for you folks earlier this week. There is a video out there online of this black girl, and she couldn't be more than 5-6 years old. And she's in Seattle, and she is leading an anti-cop chant.
I'm going to SPD, you're going to Seattle.
Now, if you're not hearing what is being chanted, she's got the microphone, and her parents and the community, whatever it is you want to say, they are leading her, and she is leading them in a chant. SPD goes oink, oink, oink all through Seattle.
SPD goes oink, oink, oink. Oink, 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 oink. SPD goes oink, 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 all through Seattle.
So when we talk about why we have problems with respect between, let's just face it, the African-American community and the police officers, well, I would just invite you to go watch that horrifying video on the Dan Mendes Show Facebook page. 866-90-RED-EYE is the phone number, 866-907-3339. Dan Mendes in for Gary and Eric. This is Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It is Red Eye Radio. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Did you hear this story of Alyssa Milano? Now, she is one of these actresses, you know, Hollywood, and she is one of the leaders of the Defund the Police movement. She is just, she is tenacious about this. I mean, she's always talking about defunding the police. She's been on CNN. She's penned all of these op-eds, and she is just the queen of defund the police. So the other day, she heard gunshots on her property. What do you think the first thing is that she did? She called 911. She called the police, and this huge police presence ends up at her property, right there to protect and to serve one of their biggest critics. You know what it turned out to be? Turned out to be a guy stalking squirrels with an air rifle. So it wasn't even a real gunman, if you will. It was just some dude walking around with an air rifle, I guess shooting squirrels, or, you know, pretending to shoot squirrels or whatever it is. So really embarrassing moment for Alyssa Milano, because she had to admit that, well, yeah, you know what, when the stuff gets real, I had to call 911. So now you've got Rose McGowan, who is calling Alyssa Milano the leader of the Karens after cops called near the actress's home. Now, I'm not entirely certain why it is that Rose McGowan is referring to Alyssa Milano as a Karen. And I still, you know what? I still don't even understand why Karen is suddenly now a pejorative. I mean, if my name was Karen, if I was a female, if my name was Karen, then I would just be a little annoyed that my first name is all of a sudden a pejorative. So Rose McGowan, as the story goes, I find this funny. Because I love when Hollywood, like, eats its own, you know what I mean? I love when these elitists, you know, the oh-so-enlightened ones, go after each other to decide which one of the two of them is more enlightened. So Rose McGowan is going after former Charmed co-star Alyssa Milano after the political activist neighbor called police to the area of Milano's residence on Sunday morning to report a possible gunman. Now, this is what's interesting, though, because I don't really know if there is an issue. That's why I'm trying to figure out what Rose McGowan's rationale was for calling Alyssa Milano a Karen. She says, "Who is the leader of Karens?" Alyssa Milano tweeted McGowan on Wednesday in response to a headline that reads in part, "Alyssa Milano calls 911. Karen, of course, is a pejorative term that has come to prominence to label a demanding, middle-aged woman who displays a sense of overbearing entitlement in various societal confrontations." So there you go. Anyway, so I just think it's kind of funny. One of the things that I would also point out, there's a bigger point to all this, and that is that there's people always screaming, defund the police, defund the police, defund the police. But then the problem is, when it does get real, if you know what I mean, what do they always do? They call 911. I mean, do we have to remind you of what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where they did decide to literally defund the police, and they did everything they could do to, let's just say, paint the police in such a negative picture that they really contributed to an erosion of trust between the police and the community. And, of course, the George Floyd thing didn't help matters in the least. So they did everything they could to distract the police and disrespect the cops. And so what happened? Well, what happened is very predictable. We saw the murder rate go up. We saw the crime rate go up overall, and this was a very bad moment for the Minneapolis City Council, because they are the ones that have been screaming about defunding the police, and then they're sitting here looking at the chief of police and saying, well, wait a minute, why is it that crime is going up? And the chief of police is looking right back at them and saying, well, it's because you decided to cut, you know, their funding. You decided to defund the police. And on top of all that, you led to an erosion of respect and trust between the police force and the community they serve. So there was a number of different things that were going on when Kyle Rittenhouse, when that whole thing happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Remember what happened there. Rittenhouse did what he had to do in self-defense, and then you have all of these people screaming about the police, and then what's the first thing that they did? They saw the police and they said, hey, police, he just shot somebody, arrest him, right? So you can scream defund, 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 but when things start getting real, everybody needs the cops. They're not going to be there if you keep up this nonsense.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio, with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Hartley, Dan Mandis. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Appreciate you being here. You can find out more about me on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I'm also on Parler, Instagram, and Twitter, all four at Dan Mandis Show. So the president was in Florida last night, and as you can imagine, he had a lot to say about one Joe Biden.
Honestly, they may say their piece. Okay, I'll say their piece. I think he believes it. I actually do. It's the other ones that you have to worry about because they call the shots, not him. He's called for the ridiculous cutting of police funding, mm-hmm. abolishing cash bail, if you can believe that,
right.
And the closing of our prisons. They want to close our prisons. That's a good idea. He even described law enforcement as the enemy. He said law enforcement is the enemy.
So that's President Trump out on the campaign trail. A couple of points of clarification. Joe Biden does not necessarily want to close prisons. He wants to close private prisons, and that's a whole conversation for another day. But the president did have a lot to say about Biden, and they're, of course, on the campaign trail. Biden, by the way, says, as far as I know, he is still stuck at home, and they refuse to let him out of the basement. But as far as talking about Joe Biden, and did he actually say that the police are the enemy? I like to confirm when the president says something. I like to just at the very least confirm that what he is saying is true so that I can comment on it. Here's what Joe Biden said when he was speaking about whether or not the police are the enemy. Listen close.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is that...
But do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that we also need to be doing is fundamentally changing the way, and I've been pushing it for years, changing the way we deal with our prison system.
All right, so that is Joe Biden. So a couple of points. So I want to make sure we get everything in context here. When he said that the police are the enemy, well, he said that the police become the enemy if they get a hold of this military equipment. And that's where I want to take all this. And by the way, first of all, you also heard that he officially responded that, yes, we need to, in effect, transfer funds away from the police into some of these other organizations, effectively saying that, yeah, we need to defund the police. He's not talking about abolishing the police, but he did say that we need to take funds away from the police and give them to some of these other organizations. But let's talk a little bit about, just very quickly, because it's not essentially, you know, especially top of mind, but I do find this interesting. You heard Biden talk about militarized police equipment, and that does bring up what is going on these days in places like Portland and also Louisville in the last couple of days and some of these other cities across America. Do our police forces, do they need military-style equipment? You know what the 1033 program is, right? This is where law enforcement agencies get used military equipment. And so these can be anything. I mean, this can be anything from, you know, pepper spray to weapons to Humvees. And it's very controversial. And for the life of me, I don't know why this is so controversial. But most, if not all, of the Democrats hate this because they say that it's militarizing the police force. And they think that the guns and the tanks, they all look so scary. And I would say to those Democrats, do you know what's actually really scary? What's really scary is being a police officer and facing a really angry crowd. You don't know what they're carrying. You don't know what they have. All you know is they hate you. And they're screaming in your face and you don't have any riot gear. That's what's scary. So I have zero problem with militarizing the police force. As a matter of fact, I would advocate for that, especially now that we see what's happening across America with a lot of these protests and riots. So here in the last few years, the local law enforcement agencies got some nearly $500 million worth of military equipment when Trump lifted the restrictions back in 2017. Because Obama put a whole bunch of restrictions on this practice. So let's look at some of the things that these agencies are getting. There's one thing that I always found very fascinating. They're called, long-range acoustic devices. I don't know if it's LRADs or what, but L-R-A-D-S. Long-range acoustic devices. Now, what they do is they emit a really high pitch frequency. And what it's meant to do is disperse crowds. I'm going to play this for you. And I'm going to try to play it for you. This is a really high-pitched frequency. There it is. So imagine that at a really high level to disperse crowds. And so to me, that's a heck of a lot better than pepper spray, is it not? Now, the problem with those things is if it's used inappropriately, then people can end up with a permanently damaged hearing. So that's obviously a negative. But as long as the training is proper and everything else, it's a great way to disperse crowds if they need to disperse a crowd. So I don't have a problem with this, with these LRADs, these long-range acoustic devices. I mean, think about what the police have been facing over the past several months, at the very least. I mean, this goes by all the way back, by the way, to the whole Michael Brown situation in Ferguson, Missouri. But these cities are being destroyed. And you've got the cops, they are way outnumbered. And you've got these activist groups, and they are sending people in, and they're being financed through various nefarious organizations. And the police, they need all the help that they can get. So for me, the officers, the law enforcement agencies getting used military equipment, I have no problem whatsoever. They have these things, MRAPs, and what they are is basically really big. I don't want to call them tanks, but they're kind of like big Humvees. And so what they do is they are strong enough to withstand roadside bombs. So I don't really have an issue with any of this stuff, and I understand why the Democrats don't like this, because it seems like these days anything the Democrats can do to criticize the police and weaken the police, they will try and do. So this is one of those situations where I'm all for the militarization, quote unquote, of the police force with all of this rioting and protesting. Now, you'd think that the police would be excited, right, to use all of this military equipment on all of these people rioting and attacking. You know, all of this hand-wringing about the militarization of the police force, you would think that there would be carnage in the streets. There would be death and destruction everywhere. But there isn't. Why? Because the police respect the communities that they protect and serve. They're not using this military equipment to, I don't know, kill innocent people. No, they're not. Again, if they were, then there would be carnage in the streets. They're using this equipment for defensive purposes only, at least as far as I can tell. Let's say hello to Mary in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hi, Dan. I love listening to you in the afternoon. Just a real quick aside, you were wondering about the rift between Alyssa Milano and Rose McGowan.
Yes.
And it started during the heart of the Me Too movement when Alyssa Milano was screaming that she was one of the sexually abused and she was hungering for the throats of sexual abusers
right.
and predators. And then when Joe Biden was accused, she defended him. And
that's
Rose McGowan
right.
called
okay,
her
it's
out.
All coming back to me now. Yes.
So
well, yeah, it's interesting. One of the things that when you see these kinds of stories, knowing all the background on all this. Now, Mary, what do you think, since you're a female, what do you think about this whole Karen thing? How did that suddenly become a pejorative?
I don't know how that became a thing. I try not to watch news because it's so much negativity.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder.
I get a lot of the news from my boyfriend who watches Democrat stuff.
Wow. your boy.
He's
please
Republican.
Tell me. Oh, okay. Your
He's
boyfriend's Republican,
Republican. But he watches the Democrat stuff, so he gets a bird's eye view of what they're up to.
Got it. All right, Mary. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I keep trying to figure out if Karen, because I know a Karen. And she's kind of ticked because her legal name is now officially a pejorative. I'm wondering, is there an equal pejorative for a man? So if Karen is a pejorative for a bossy woman, you know, let me talk to your manager kind of thing. Is there an equal pejorative for a male? I'm just curious. Let's see here. I want to speak to Randy in Chicago because it's going to relate to something I just said. Randy, go ahead.
First, the last question you just asked, it's Kyle.
Is it really Kyle?
For men.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What I was going to say is I don't think Trump is a dummy at all. I think he's way smarter than what people give him credit for. And what he's doing now with this whole thing that you mentioned earlier about calling the police the enemy, that's what Biden said, or that Biden wants to close prisons, all he's doing is what they do to him every day.
Sure.
He has a statement that he'll make, and the media will change it somehow, and then use it against him, and then he has to spend 2 to 3 days either through his press secretary or himself in general to try to correct what he said, and then now all of a sudden it gets lost in the shuffle. Because as the days progress, you start to get into other things and you lose track of what was true and what was not true. So all I think he did in that situation is he's doing what they do to him, where he's changing what Biden says, so then now Biden has to spend 2 or 3 days to correct the statement. Now, is it right, wrong? I don't know. I just think that he's finally fighting fire with fire.
Randy, you know, one of the things that I would actually submit to you is what Biden and the Democrats are doing to Trump is actually worse than what Trump did to Biden. Because when the Democrats are running around, and the other thing to say about that, Randy, is remember that the Democrats have their partners in the media to spread their lies. So, for example, when I think it was at the Atlantic that came out with that story about how President Trump said that those dead soldiers in that cemetery in France, they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
We're losers, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a heck of a lot worse.
Well, and the,
I
and
totally
the other thing.
I agree with you, and I just.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think he finally figured out how to play their game against them.
Yeah.
And this was an example of that, where you see him now. I mean, you look at what Biden said, how you played it, and then look what Trump turned it into. I think he's figuring out how to play their game against them, and to me, I'm glad that he's doing it, because now Biden's got to take and figure out how to, like, come out of the basement and answer questions toward that, where normally what will happen is he'll just not have to deal with anything. He can sit in there and just keep on talking about what he wants to talk about, where instead now he's actually got to come out and defend some of his words.
Right. And Randy, I appreciate the call, and I'm on my Facebook page. You folks, we've spent a week together, and I filled in a few times here on Red Eye. So just so you know, I am a Donald Trump supporter. But I also have to be intellectually, and people are getting mad at me because I didn't correct what Trump said. I'm just merely sort of clarifying what Joe Biden said. I'm all for President Trump saying whatever he needs to say. But what I would also say is that if I'm going to be playing the audio, then I need to ensure that I know that what Joe Biden really said so that I'm able to, at the very least, give my own interpretation of it. I don't want you to think that I'm just, you know, spouting, you know, President Trump's talking points. I'm not. I'm actually looking at the things that he says and putting some of my own perspective on it. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to expose Donald Trump or anything like this. No, I have made a probably the last, what, 4 years now, almost every single day, I am defending President Trump and giving truth to what he actually stands for and defending him when there are perpetual lies made against him. And so I do, though, need to ensure that I am giving you as much truth as I possibly can. So I very much appreciate that call. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339.
A House Agriculture Subcommittee heard about the wildfire response and recovery efforts so far this year.
As of September 19th, there have been almost 43,000 fires that have burned more than 7.2 million acres across all jurisdictions. In addition to homes and property damage, these fires have taken lives.
In his testimony, Deputy Forest Service Chief John Phipps called this an unprecedented year.
One of the most notable challenges this year is the number of fires taking place at the same time, which has stretched us thin. Since August 18th through today, the demand for fire resources has exceeded supply across the system.
He adds that a record number of personnel are fighting the fires.
Over 32,700 interagency firefighters were supporting wildfire operations across the country, primarily in California, Oregon, and Washington.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Radio 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. That is where we find Darren in Darlington, South Carolina.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I was going to comment about the military thing, you know, that clip the police officer buying. You know, here in Darlington, the sheriff's office bought a bunch of trucks. He got criticized, ridiculed. But when we had these big floods, and they used those trucks to get people out of houses and save them, because the fire departments and stuff didn't have the motion equipment to get these people out. You know, it was off. It was horrible when they did it, but it was great that he did.
Yeah,
you know, people don't realize they're out here trying to protect people.
So, Darren, did that change people's minds there in Darlington?
No.
No.
Still against it.
Of course
they're
not.
They're blind. You know, and another comment I'd like to make, you know, the whole thing about defunding the police and all this, we don't realize the police department, that these officers out here and these county officers are the most underpaid, undertrained positions you can get. I mean, we need to train these people better. They need better training. They need better pay. You get what you pay for.
Well, and what's interesting, too, and Darren, I appreciate the call, most police officers, if not all police officers, and I'm a big supporter of them, most of them have told me that they welcome more training, and I'm sure they'd welcome more money, too, but that's a whole nother conversation. The police are terribly underpaid, especially when you look at the sacrifices that they make, and I appreciate the call. 866-90-RED-EYE, that's 866-907-3339. I'm Dan Mandis. This is Red Eye Radio. Time to check your national forecast.
We're expecting about 3 inches of rain today for areas of eastern Tennessee. That'll be east of I-65 over towards Knoxville. And for the Winston-Salem, Charlotte, Greenville area, you can expect heavy showers throughout the day today. for central and southern North Carolina and northern South Carolina. Look for those showers to continue throughout the day. The rest of the nation, with the exception of the Pacific Northwest, will be clear today. We will see cloudy conditions for most of the Pacific Northwest, for Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Oregon, where the chance of onshore rains continued today, primarily for the Seattle area. It's been a while since Texas has been dry, especially along the Gulf Coast, but today, clear skies for the Lone Star State, same for the desert southwest and at least southern California, and we're currently not monitoring any tropical disturbances in the Atlantic. A look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Dan Mandis.
Well, you can find out more about me. Send me a message if you like. I'm getting lots of them tonight. Some good, not some. Some not so good. I got one. Dan Mandis Show is a useful idiot for the state. Okay, very good. And another one is a couple of people actually taking me to task. They are for giving my perspective on President Trump's comments about Joe Biden. So listen, all I can do is I can be myself and you can like me or you cannot like me. It's all the same to me. And listen, if you're a talk show host, trust me, you're used to getting it from both sides. The phone number 866-90-RED-EYE, and by the way, I do very much appreciate the opportunity to fill in for Eric and Gary. They return Sunday night, Monday morning, and Humphrey is in Mississippi on Red Eye Radio. Hey, Humphrey, how are you?
Hey there, Mr. Dan. Love the show. It's Pascagoula down here in Mississippi.
Very good. I was trying to figure out how to say the how do you say where you're coming from? Is that Pascagoula?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's where the hurricane I think it was Sally, I think, just go, or Laura just came through Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Right. Got it.
No bill and all that.
All right, very good.
But I just
love your show.
Love how you're not biased. I love how you explain yourself. You're not trying to bash Trump or bash Biden. You're trying to get the facts for it. But I got one thing, the pejorative word. I've always thought Uncle Tom was the man because I have a black buddy. And I was kidding with him one day saying, Tom, what are your nephews calling you? And he knew where I was going with this. He goes, I tell my nephews to call me George because I hate that term. But I just always figured Uncle Tom was it. And it wasn't nothing. I'm great friends, but he knew where I was going with it. But I have friends that are Karens, and they hate the word, too. But
They do. I'm worried at some point somebody's going to come up with, like, the name Dan is, I don't know, whatever it would be, the equivalent of calling someone a Karen. So, and it is interesting, too. I don't know how this stuff gets started. You know, the whole thing, I don't know if I should go down this road. The whole, that's what she said. You know, that's what people say these days. You know, you say something snarky and it may be innuendo kind of a thing. Somewhere along the line, somebody started saying, that's what she said. I don't know where that started. It's brilliant and it's funny. I just don't know where it started. Let's see. Chris is in my old stomping grounds of Colorado. Chris, thanks for calling Red Eye Radio.
Hey, it's great to talk to a gold standard as a reliever. I think you need your own platform, but that's just me. Hey, you were talking about the disbursement tools that the police could use, and then you played like a modified hopped-up car alarm.
Yeah,
sound.
Yeah. That really was one of those audio alarms that they use to disperse crowds. That's what it sounds like. I got it off the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah. Yeah, so, oh, yeah, right. So my question is that they have a new tool, but they haven't used it. I know it's been tested out. And what it is it's an infrared beam that makes it uncomfortable for the protesters when they hit them with it because it kind of warms them up intensely not to the point where they're physically burned, but uncomfortable that they move out of the way. And I haven't seen it used yet, and I'm wondering what they're waiting for, because I think it would be most interesting for the degenerates with the Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Chris, and I appreciate the call. There does need to be some sort of option for the police to use, whether it is these high-pitched frequencies or, as you're saying, as something infrared, because at some point, I was saying this earlier in the radio broadcast, at some point, the stuff's going to get real, and these mass protests are going to turn into, when I say mass riots, I mean huge riots. And the police are going to need to have some sort of technology to deal with these crowds. I mean, every time you turn around, the police are trying to deal with some sort of a situation. And they've got to use pepper spray. They've got to use tear gas. And, you know, you have all of these folks on the left, and they will criticize literally everything the police do. You know, for example, the police, in for the most part, in a lot of places across the country, they're not allowed to use the chokehold. Well, if you're not allowed to use the chokehold, then how are you supposed to subdue a subject, a suspect? How do you do that? See, this is what gets so frustrating for me, is when you watch all of these situations that the police have to deal with, I don't want people to die. The police don't want people to die. But unfortunately, when you take all of these maneuvers that police use to subdue suspects, then there really only is one or two options left. And my friends, those options aren't necessarily good for the suspect. So to me, whatever technology we need to use for the police, and I don't know what it is. I mean, the problem is that the stun gun or the taser, sometimes that works, and oftentimes it doesn't. And we've seen a number of different times. The guy in Kenosha, Jacob, I forget his name now, but the guy in Kenosha who was shot 7 times in the back, and the police officer told him numerous times that he needed to stop, and he continued to walk aggressively towards his car. And they tried to tase him, and it didn't work. I think there was the situation in Atlanta where they tried to tase that guy, and it didn't work. So in Kenosha, the tase didn't work, and so they had to shoot the dude 7 times in the back. And frankly, he would still be able to walk if he had just stopped. But he didn't stop. This goes right back to what I was talking about earlier regarding compliance. So that's number one. Now, I'm not saying that the guy in Kenosha didn't deserve to be shot. Frankly, he did, because he wasn't listening to the police, and the cops had no idea if he was going into his car to get a weapon. So that's number one. Number two, in Atlanta, it was the same thing. They tried to tase the guy. It didn't work, and I can't remember the circumstances, but he ended up getting shot as well. So whatever the police need to do to utilize non-lethal force that won't kill somebody but will also subdue them, that is what the cops need. The phone number is 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, about this controversy regarding the peaceful transition of power, this has been something that President Trump has been trying to deal with for the last couple of days. You've heard the original audio where the reporter asked the president, can't this guy was such a ninny? And I don't know why I keep using that term ninny, but he's a ninny. And he's saying, you know, people are rioting and, you know, can you guarantee a peaceful transition of power? And the reporter is trying to connect the rioting from the Breonna Taylor situation with the election in November. And I don't know why he's trying to tie those two. But you know what the president said? He said, listen, if it's not a free and true vote, well, then I don't know why I would actually just walk away and walk out of the White House if Joe Biden says I lost. Am I really going to say, oh, okay, Joe, I guess I lost. I guess I'll just go on back to New York or whatever it is. No. If there is a suggestion, there's me now talking, if there is a suggestion that there has been some cheating, some collusion, some ballot harvesting, then No, I don't think the president leaves the White House. And if that means that everybody gets all upset on the left, well, then that's just going to have to be the way that it is. Because the bottom line is that right now the Democrats and the mainstream media, they are incredibly passionate on this whole mail-in balloting thing, which is silly because Dr. Fauci himself said there's no reason why people can't vote in person. All you have to do is, utilize the proper social distancing and these kinds of things. Now, the president said this earlier today.
We want to make sure the election is honest, and I'm not sure that it can be. I don't know that it can be with this whole situation. Unsolicited ballots. They're unsolicited, millions being sent to everybody, and we'll see.
Yeah, so now the media, they're blowing this up. And I think the reason why the media is blowing this up is because they're trying to distract you from something else, whether it's the rioting that's going on right now, because we know that the American people don't like what they're seeing, whether it is in Louisville or New York or Portland, wherever it may be. The American people are getting tired of this. And because of that, President Trump is rising in the polls. So now they're on this whole, the president's going to stay in the White House even if he loses mantra. And so the geniuses over at CNN decided to have Wolf Blitzer ask H.R. McMaster. You know, this is the guy that used to be President Trump's former national security advisor. And he was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer. And, well, this conversation didn't go well for Wolf.
And General, if the president were to lose the election on November 3rd, and if he were to refuse to concede, and this is a hypothetical, but you're a military guy, what role would the U.S. military have to play in that type of scenario?
Absolutely no role.
I love, can I just say that I love that H.R. McMaster literally laughs at Wolf Blitzer.
But you're a military guy. What role would the U.S. military have to play in that type of scenario?
Absolutely no role, Wolf. And those who suggest that the military would have any role in transition, they are being equally irresponsible. And I heard some of the comments, for example, by Vice President Biden, not in recent days, but much earlier. And of course, going back to our founders again, we should remember George Washington's grandparents fled the English Civil War. And it was for that reason that at our founding, General Washington and then President Washington made sure there was a very bold line between the military and politics. The military should have nothing to do with partisan politics and nothing to do with even any talk about a transition between administrations.
So let's face it. It's clear what the Democrats, in my opinion, it's clear what the Democrats are trying to do. They are trying to do whatever they can to cause as much chaos within the election. This whole mail-in balloting scheme, at least to me, is an opportunity to do all of the things that I just mentioned, which is cheat and invite Russian and Chinese influence. Many studies have shown the issues over the years. I don't need to go through all of those again. But coming up next, one of my favorite audio bites of the day, Kayleigh McEnany slam dunks on the media. That story coming up next right here on Red Eye Radio.
Drivers, our friends at PACCAR have a product for your toolbox called PackLink. It provides real-time information about what's going on with your truck. Michelle Moline is manager of product development for PackLink and has more details.
PackLink is basically a mobile diagnostic device that has a Bluetooth chip in it that allows you to use your phone to read why the check engine light is on in your truck. One of our biggest users is actually our own dealerships at PACCAR. Now, our dealers are also reselling this product to customers, and customers, owner operators or fleet drivers, use this while they're on the road so that if they have a check engine light that comes on, they can easily just use their phone to plug this thing in and see what's going on and then either send a report back to their dispatcher to await further instructions or, in the case of an owner operator, possibly even just figure out what needs to be done and go from there. It's a very simple ordering process. Go to PACCAR.com/PACKLINK, PACLINK. I should mention, too, that if you're a member of OOIBA Association, you receive a 10% discount by logging into the OOIBA website.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It is Red Eye Radio. Hey, great news. Gary and Eric back Sunday night, Monday morning. My name's Dan Mandis. It has been my honor and privilege to fill in for the guys here on Red Eye Radio. You can find out more about me on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. You can also listen to me if you'd like to go to 99.7WTN.com. You can find all the streaming information there because I am on 1 to 4 Eastern every single day. That's 12 to 3 Central. And that is it again at 99.7WTN.com. Also, don't forget we have podcasts available of each and every segment that I do and that we do here on Red Eye Radio. It is RedEyeRadioShow.com. Kayleigh McEnany, boy, did she slam dunk on the media. You know, this whole thing about President Trump and the fact that they say that he will refuse to engage in a peaceful transition of power. This is what Kayleigh McEnany said earlier today.
Will this White House, will this president assure us that there will be a peaceful transfer of power? It's a very simple question.
The president will accept the results of a free and fair election. But I think that your question is more fitting to be asked of Democrats who have already been on the record saying they won't accept the results of an election. In fact, I have several of them here for you. South Carolina Democrat Jim Clyburn has said that Trump is not going to win fairly. Senator Barbara Boxer has said that the only way Trump will win is to steal it. That's according to Democrat Senator Barbara Boxer. The Washington Post has noted they have a headline, Democrats may not trust the results of the election if Trump wins. And then you have that beautiful quote from Hillary Clinton that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstance. So I think your fitting is a fitting question for Democrats.
There you go. Kayleigh McEnany slam dunking on the media. And she is absolutely right. Well, that's it for me. Dan Mandis right here on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.